If you're coming on a regular basis, and I'm not saying this to beat any of you up, but if you're not doing your homework, I want to challenge you to at least start reading the text that we're going through. So, for example, if your homework for like tonight said it was chapter 9 verses, was it 22 through the end of 9 and all of 10, I want to encourage you, if you're not doing the homework, at least read through the text with us so that you're familiar with it, so that when we hit it tonight, you'll go, oh, I know that. And then when you get into your groups tonight, you'll know it. So just want to give you that little challenge. We're in chapter 9. How many of you, just show hands, can be honest and say you read through this through the text? Cool. That's a good amount. So I'm gonna kind of lightly just break it down a little bit, and then I want to let you guys out into your groups, and we're gonna have a little exercise here tonight in this room. Don't worry, no jumping jacks or push-ups, no wrestling. I know you've probably been to some men's ministries where they're like, hey, we're gonna, there's a guy in Maine. Some of you might know him. I'm not gonna say his name, but they have a ministry where they just, the guys get together and they just wrestle each other, and it's nice. And this pastor had an old man visit him on a Sunday morning, and he hugged him, and he didn't realize, this 95-year-old man, that he broke one of his ribs when he hugged him. So he's a little rough. So we're going to do that tonight. We're going to break each other's ribs. No, I'm just kidding. So chapter 9 and 10, we saw a couple things here. We have been seeing this progression take place of, one, the wall being completed and finished. Once the wall was completed, we saw this return, or for some, their first encounter with the law, with the Word of God. And we saw this hunger of wanting to hear the Word of God, and then we saw a response to God's Word. And we saw this amazing response of mourning at first. They were literally mourning because of what they were hearing and realizing who they were, and realizing what they had gone against. And again, keep in mind, some of these, for the first time, heard that they weren't to live the way they were living. And they turned back to the Lord once they heard it, and their response was, we've got to mourn because we've failed. We've let God down. We've let God Almighty down. We've sinned. And if you remember, they were quickly encouraged, no longer mourn. What were they told to do? Anybody remember? Rejoice. Not only were they to rejoice, they were to do what? Go back. They were to go home and do what? Sweet. You remembered the wine right here. That's good. Yeah. He's like, eat the food. And you know, if somebody else doesn't have the food, get them food. There was this encouragement to, now you've mourned, now celebrate. And now we're going to see this response of worship again, but in a different way. And this worship is in, as you read through, if you read through, you saw that this worship was in the way of going back and looking at God's faithfulness. And as they looked at God's faithfulness, it gave them reason to worship God. And it's such a challenge for us to stop and to go back to look at God's faithfulness, to look at who He's always been. Because again, circumstance changes, situations change, life changes, plans change, but who never changes? God, right? So it is so important for us to, on a regular basis, go back and look at His faithfulness. And when we go back to look at His faithfulness, it reminds us He's still there. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same tomorrow. And it brings us back to a place where we can say, okay, I can keep going. I can breathe. I can keep moving forward because He has been faithful to us before. And that is so important. How many of you, I'm just going to put all of you on the spot right now, how many of you just real quickly would like to just shout out, I'm not looking for a story, but a quick shout out of how God has been faithful in the past for you in a certain way. Anybody? Marriage? Okay. Providing. What was that? Providing. How many of you have seen God when you were at the very end of your resources, seeing God come through and provide? Okay, most of us in this room. What are some other ways that you can look back and say God was faithful? Children? Okay. Saved your life. So, salvation. So it's so, again, so important for us, as even in the very old Testament, we're in the Old Testament, but even as the children of Israel were constantly encouraged to leave stones of remembrance to leave things that they could tell their children's children's children and keep reminding them of who God was, but who God had been to them. And there was specifically instructions throughout the Old Testament of, you want to be able to do this so that you can tell them. And again, some of us in this very room may be the men that may come alongside of other men to be that, hey, this is what he's done for me. He's going to be faithful to you. He's going to be faithful for you. If you continue to hold on, he will be faithful. So we see through here, we see through chapter 9 this confession of sin in the beginning of chapter 9, but then we see this going back, and even in chapter 10, we see this going back and looking at who he was. Look at verse 21, for example. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Any hikers here? Anybody like to hike? A few of you, okay. Any of you been hiking before where you've come home and your feet are swollen? Or you have to get moleskin and, you know, you get the blisters from your boots and your feet are sore. I love, we see here just again this remembering and looking back to the fact that for 40 years, that's a long time, right? 40 years? Long time to be walking in circles, which they literally were walking in circles. For 40 years, a 11 and a half, 12-day journey from Egypt to Israel by foot took 40 years. Now, that didn't take 40 years because God wasn't faithful. That wasn't the reason. It took 40 years because they continued to turn their back on God, continued to doubt God, continued to say, nope, he's not going to provide. Nope, you brought us out here to kill us. You brought us out here to, you know, brought us out of Egypt. Let us go back to Egypt where we can at least be fed. You know, and they desired to have that position of slavery versus relying fully upon God. 40 years, their clothes didn't wear out. If you have kids, you know how fast clothes wear out. You know how fast they grow out of clothes. You know how often you replace tennis shoes. You know how much those tennis shoes cost. 40 years, their clothing, everything they needed was provided for. Yet what happened? They continually said, we don't have it. We need it. God would provide. And they continue to not see the provision of God. Many, jump over to verse 30, or jump over to verse 26. We're going to pick up here. Verse 36 says, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you and cast your law behind their back and killed your prophets who had warned them in order to turn them back to you. And they committed great blasphemies. Verse 27, therefore you gave them into the hand of their enemies who made them suffer, and in the time of their suffering they cried out to you, and you heard them from heaven, and according to your great mercies you gave them saviors who saved them from the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, verse 28, they did evil again before you, and you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they turned and cried to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies. I think it's crazy. As soon as they had rest, as soon as they were comfortable, they turned again. As soon as they realized, oh, we're all good now. We don't need to depend on God anymore. It's all good. We're good. We're comfortable. We're safe. And fear, again, will a lot of times drive us back to God. Fear of losing career, fear of losing wife or losing friends or losing home or whatever it may cause us to go back and even get us on our knees. And then when we get comfortable again, we can do the same pattern here where we're, oh, it's all good. I don't need to go back to God anymore. It's good. I'm good. And if you did your homework, you saw this challenge of these patterns that we see. It kept repeating itself and repeating itself. And interesting to think of this fact, God was continually faithful to say, yes, I'll bring you back, but they as well were continually faithful to keep turning their back on God, keep turning their back on God. So I would say it's safe to say, and I don't want to say that related to sin, yes, but I would say it's safe to say in this room, we probably have a lot of patterns that we all could probably say, yes, I could need to break that pattern in my life. And it may be a pattern that's gross sin, but it may be a pattern of just maybe something like flakiness, maybe a pattern of For some of you, your pattern may be like me. Well, I'm going to get into the gym. I'm going to work out. No, I'm not. I'm going to get healthy. No, I'm not. I want to get healthy. So I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to fast. I'm going to do this. And then, gosh, you know, that big Mountain Dew and Double Double looks really good right now. And then you go back to the pattern, and you go back to the pattern. And, you know, I think the king of patterns, I don't want to exemplify this person at all, but is Oprah. I don't know if you've ever seen how many times Oprah has said, this is the year. I'm going on a diet, and I'm going to lose the weight, ladies. This is the year. And then next year she'll say, this is the year. And she'll go back, and it's just like, you know, just don't tell us that anymore. Because we're tired of what, and that's the thing is we need to let people tell us if we are in a pattern of continually doing the same thing over and over and over again. Because if we're in a pattern, what does it mean? What does that ultimately mean if we're in a pattern? Stuck. We're stuck. If we're stuck, we're not what? We're not growing. So the children of Israel were stuck in a pattern for 40 years of going like this. Trust God. Don't trust God. Oh, we're in trouble. Let's call out to God. Okay, he saved us. We're comfortable. Let's go back to the golden calf. Wait, oh, wait, enemies. Let's trust God. Okay, we're good again. Let's not trust God. Let's turn our back on him again. And this horrible pattern continued to happen. So I want to give you this challenge that if you have, and we all know what our patterns may be, but this may be the year 2016, which sounds crazy to say, may be the year that God is saying it's time to break the pattern. And when I say that, I'm not in any way implying it's time for you in your own strength or in your own ability to break the pattern, because if I were saying that, then you wouldn't be stuck in the pattern that you might be in. It would have been over a long time ago. But sometimes to get out of those patterns, number one, we need God's strength, and number two, we need the strength of other godly men to come into our lives and say, we're going to not let that pattern continue anymore. And I'll be honest with you, I'm usually the first person, which is sad to say, that tends to avoid or hide or say, you know what, Richard and I were just talking about this tonight, about accountability, and it's like, you know, we will hold people accountable, but sometimes it's hard to have other people hold us accountable. I would say probably one flaw with most pastors is that they do not have accountability. They don't have accountability. A lot of pastors have have friends around them, but they're not friends that would say, hey, you know, something's off with you. And I've personally seen so many close friends who are pastors because of the lack of men saying that pattern isn't healthy, that pattern isn't right, let's do something to stop it. And it is so important. So we see this pattern continue, and then jump down to verse 32 of chapter 9. Verse 32 says, now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love, let not all the hardship seem little to you that has come upon us, upon our kings, our princes, our priests, our prophets, our fathers, and all your people since the time of the kings of Assyria until this day. You, verse 33, have been righteous in all that has come upon us, for you have dealt faithfully, and we have acted wickedly. Our kings, our princes, our priests, and our fathers have not kept your law or paid attention to your commandments and your warnings that you gave them. Even in their own kingdom and amid your great goodness that you gave them, and in the large and rich land that you set before them, they did not serve you or turn from their wicked works. Behold, we are slaves this day in the land that you gave to our fathers to enjoy its fruit and its good gifts. Behold, we are slaves, and its rich yield goes to the kings whom you have set over us because of our sins. They rule over our bodies and our livestock as they please, and we are in great distress because of this. We make a firm covenant in writing. On the sealed document are the names of our princes, our Levites, and our priests. So we see something very important happen here. We're going to see now a shift from hearing the word of God, mourning, repentance. We see worship, but now we're seeing now this mention of a covenant, which is them now saying, because of what we now know, because of who we have been And because we acknowledge we can no longer be that, we're going to make a covenant with you, God. And keep in mind, God was the first to initiate covenant. He was the first to initiate this whole idea of a covenant. And as they are going back and looking at his faithfulness and his covenant, which he kept, they're realizing we failed. We blew it. Yet what's amazing is they continue to fail. They continue to blow it. But God continued to be steadfast to that covenant, continued to uphold his end of the bargain. And at any time, God could have said, you know what? I'm going to let you completely just be annihilated. I'm done. Done. And he continued to uphold this bargain of the covenant. What do you notice as they are saying all these things unto the Lord? What do you notice that they're proclaiming really what their current situation is? And what do you see? Why are they saying they were in this situation? Their wickedness. Anything else? Faults of their fathers. Bad leadership. Neglected duty, you said, Richard?
Yes, sir.
Okay. God's sovereign hand. I love 37. Look at it again. And its rich yield goes to the kings whom you have set over us because of what? Our sins. Our sins. There is something so healthy in seeing our sin, acknowledging our sin, confessing our sin, and then saying we're going to do whatever we can to no longer live in that sin. Something so healthy, yet again, something in some churches so foreign to do, to say, hey, let's, you know, we talked about this, I think Caesar did an amazing job last week talking about the topic of confession, you know, and he did not let me do this, but my desire was, he mentioned something about, you know, we have a side room, you're going to go in there and confess. What I want to do is pass a microphone around, and all of you confess your sins, but then without you knowing, we were going to pipe it into where the women's room is. So those of you who have your wives here, they would hear it all. They'd be, no. What I really want to do is let's not tell them we know that it's being piped in there. We can just, oh, I just need to confess. I could be a better husband, Lord, and I could be a more faithful father. And they're sitting there going, oh, I love my husband. He's amazing. You know, and but something amazing happens. Most revival, if you look at history, revivals happen not because people typically are praying for revival, but because people are repenting of their sins. Repentance. Repentance. It is so huge. And here they are acknowledging that because of their sin, these things happened. And I loved that they started off by saying in verse 33, you have been righteous. God, we've deserved every bit of this. Everything that's gone wrong is, and I think even our homework asked us quite, or pointed out the fact that they're kind of blaming God for this, but what they're really saying is, it's us that caused you to have to do this. It's not you, it's us and our sin and our iniquities have caused us now to be in the land that you promised us, not even enjoying it, but being slaves in it. And so they see all this, and then verse 38, they make, I love this in the ESV, it says, because of this, we make a firm covenant in writing. And I think that word firm is important because it's them saying, look, we don't want this to be like anything else our fathers have done. We don't want this to be this covenant of, I think I can do it, God. I really want to do it, God, but I'm not sure if I can, God. They're saying, no, we want to make this firm. And in chapter 10, we go into them going through this covenant and explaining what this covenant consists of. And the first, gosh, let's see, the first 27 verses are all the names of these people they mentioned by name. And we're not going to look at those because I will pronounce them wrong, but I want to encourage you. There is very important things to look at when people's names are mentioned. But they start to lay out what they want to do and what this covenant is for and what it will consist of. And again, a lot of it, as you go through, for example, verse 29 of chapter 10, look what it says. Join with their brothers, their nobles, and enter into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law that was given by us, given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our the Lord, our Lord, and his rules and statutes. So a lot of what they're going to put in this covenant, we're going to see is what they had then heard in the law and were reminded that this was how they were to live. So again, they are saying, we want to go back to your word, God. And we want to make a covenant saying we are going to live this way. We want to be these type of people. So tonight, we're going to do this. And I would encourage you to participate in this activity. Again, we're not going to have you confess your sins. But we are going to ask you to pass all your wallets up to the front. No, I'm just kidding. What we're going to do is we're going to take some time and we're going to make our own little covenants. And when I say covenant, this can be things that you, maybe even as we talked about patterns, maybe in your own life you know there's patterns that you need to say, God, I want to see this stopped. I need your help. Send me the help. Send me the people. Send me the resources. Do whatever it takes. And I want to challenge you just to take maybe we're going to take 5-10 minutes, maybe more like 10 minutes, and just to write out to yourself and to the Lord what changes and what, I don't want to say promises, but what you would like to commit unto the Lord. Lord, I want to be a better husband. Lord, I want to be a better businessman. Lord, I want to be more truthful and more honest. Things that you know the Lord maybe over the last few weeks and as we've been going through Nehemiah has been showing you. Just as when they saw his word, they wanted to respond by saying, we know it, now we want to do this. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pass these around. You can fold it just like I folded it. And you can use top and bottom if you want. You can use bottom. You can write out 3 things. You can write out 20 things, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And then here's what you're going to do. You're going to put them in an envelope, okay? You're going to seal that envelope. Okay, we did this maybe 2 or 3 years ago on a Sunday morning at church, and I want you just to write your address. You don't have to write your name on there if you don't want to. We will not open these. We will not look at them, but what will happen is they will go into a top secret location, and in about 4 to 6 months, you're going to get these mailed to you. And the hope is that you would open them, and you would look and go, oh, I totally forgot about this. Let me see how I've done. And I've done this before for myself. Oh, gosh, I failed there. Lord, what am I doing? What is wrong with me? Then I realize another pattern. Well, let me fill out another one and mail it to myself for 4 months. But what it does is, in a sense, you're going to completely, most likely forget about this. And in 4 to 6 months, you're going to get this little thing in the mail, and you might even see it and go, what is this? Is it, you know, and you're going to open it, and you're going to be able to see this little covenant that you wrote tonight. On the 2nd, correct? Today's the 2nd? 3rd? There we go. That's good. 3rd of February, you're going to be able to look back and say, okay, Lord, how am I doing in those areas? And in no way is this to be sent to you to say, hey, let us beat you up from Horizon and remind you of what you failed to do, because we don't know what you're writing. But if you find that you fell short in some of these areas, it's again time to say, Lord, I still need to surrender to you, and I need you to help me. And again, one of those areas might be, God, help me just reach out to somebody. Help me reach out to somebody. Okay, so I'm going to pass these around. Actually, if I could get a couple volunteers. And I'm going to pass a box. If you need pencils or pens, we got some of those. All right, there's some of those. Here's some envelopes, Alan. All right, there's those guys. And I'm going to give you... And if we got some empty seats, so if you're worried about, you know, if I was sitting next to Willie, I for sure probably would want to move away. I'd be worried. He'd be looking over and seeing, what is Philip writing? So if you want to spread out, you can do that if you're fine where you're at. And I want to challenge you, even if you're not comfortable doing this, maybe just write a prayer out and put it in. But smiley face, yeah. Oh, okay, so put your first name on it. Put your first name on it. That's a very good point, because if your name is not on it, and if you're married, your wife may get it. If you have a roommate, they may open it. That is a very good point, Claudio. Put your name on it, or you can put your first, letter, initial of your first name and last name. Again, we are not going to open them, so don't worry about that. They're going to be stored and kept in a underground bunker. They're going to actually, we rented space from the Mormon vault in Utah. They're going to be put in there for a period of time. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't do that. But yeah, so put your name on them, on the envelope, so you can open it. Huh? What's that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to start my timer. You guys have, I'm going to give you about 10 minutes. All right? And if you are married, your wife's here, know that they, I think, are actually doing this as well tonight. So don't be tempted to open theirs either when you see it come. I shouldn't have told you that, but. Yeah. Yeah.